Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring on new guests and explore exciting new topics in the world of UFOs and the Paranormal. And I'm so excited because tonight we're going to be discussing psychic mediumship, which I think is really one of the most fascinating and profound subjects of the paranormal world. And it's getting more and more popular. There's some very famous people on TV like James Von Prague, John Edward, Lisa Williams, Sylvia Brown. These are all very well-known mediums. But another medium who is now making a name for herself is our guest tonight, and her name is Jennifer Farmer. And she's a psychic medium who integrates empathic health-sensitive techniques, including reading and feeling your body and emotions, along with mediumship skills, which is, of course, contacting those who have passed over, to put it simply, clairvoyance, which is the ability to discern objects not present to the senses, and channeling, which is accessing higher realms of wisdom and knowledge. Jennifer assists her clients with personal spiritual development, healing relationships, resolving issues around grief and death. She has experienced working with people in all of life's issues, both personal and professional, and actually attended the Arthur Finley College in England, to study and enhance her mediumship skills. She currently lives in Keller, Texas, maybe not far from that recent UFO sighting there, but she does travel nationwide to facilitate public demonstrations of mediumship. And she is available for teaching and speaking and readings in your area, so if you'd like, please contact her website, which is www.butterflyspiritconnections.com. That's all one word, butterflyspiritconnections.com. Jennifer, I'm so excited. Thanks for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Preston. I really was looking forward to joining you tonight and talking about one of my very favorite things, and that's the paranormal and with mediumship.
Yeah, I'm just really excited. But before we get started, let me give out the calling number for people who want to call in to the show. And that number is toll-free. It's 888-228-4494. So for all you listeners out there, if you want to speak with our guest tonight, here's the number again, 888-228-4494. Okay, Jennifer, psychic mediumship, huh? Now, how did you first realize that you were, you know, having psychic experiences?
Well, that's a great question. For me, my gifts, my skills of actually seeing people on the other side and those impressions was about 2 years ago. And I was counseling with a friend of mine, and she was talking to me about her mother who had passed over. And out of the corner of my eye, I actually saw this woman dressed up in a green suit and twirling a baton.
Wow.
And it was, I had had a reading before. I'd started to do some channeling and some meditation work in this area. And I think that's probably why it didn't scare me out of my, you know, mind. But also... the fact it's very subtle. I was very aware of what was going on. And I just asked her if her mother had ever twirled a baton, and she said, well, yeah, she was the head of the drum major, and I said, she liked to dress up. She goes, oh, yes, she loved to dress up. I said, well, she's not that far from you now. She's right here with us. And it was an experience that it seemed like time stood still for me. And at that point, I knew that I was meant to research this, look into it, and really find out what my skills were, and to look at it more on a serious level. And that's if you know me well enough to know, once I can make a decision, I'm off and on the road again. You know.
Well, you know, it's interesting how you say you saw this lady out of the corner of your eye, because that's of course where a lot of psychic vision occurs.
Yeah. For me, I remembered, you know, as I started to really open up and started to delve into my own mind, I remembered seeing, feeling energy and that sort of thing as a child, and I was very uncomfortable talking about it with my family. It scared me. I remembered being scared to go to sleep at night because of what I felt, who I felt, that sort of thing. And I think it was just because it wasn't, I wasn't in an environment that we could talk about it. And I remembered as I started to open up and meditate more that this, that I had experienced this before, but not at this awareness level.
Right, right. So what made you to start doing it more actively then?
Well, I'm a person who is who lives by spiritual purpose, and once I really decided to find out what my gifts were, I started to do readings for people. I really turned on, and I just did it as a practice, and I found out that I was very accurate and that it was a very life-changing experience for many people. And I personally had a reading from just an awesome medium. His name is John Holland. And he brought through my father, and it really changed my life because 17 years of guilt left me at that moment.
Wow.
And my father, I didn't really know that I could access him at that level or had that. So it was through a series of circumstances of getting a reading, having meditation, opening the channel, that sort of thing, that really led to this. It wasn't, it may sound like it happened overnight, but for me it's been an ongoing process of connection with the higher divine energy that I've been on that path for almost, actively meditating for probably about 10 years.
Wow.
And pursuing a higher consciousness for about 18.
Wow.
So, it's about awareness and development and progression. And I feel like if we all put our intention in that place of being of service to people in the world and using the gifts that we have, whether it be communication, whether it be writing, that is meant for people in this world to wake people up, to make them aware of there's more here than just what meets the eye. And so for me, it's just been an ongoing process.
Right. Well, it's interesting that this subject is, I think, finally reaching sort of a mainstream acceptance. And most people believe, at least according to polls, there's still a lot of skeptics out there.
You know, it's very common. I have many people that are religious that will come and talk to me, and they feel like they violated some religious code. And I just share with them that it's their experience that they need to have with the divine spirit and that to be open to what those gifts may bring. And I've been very fortunate that I've done a lot of readings over the last 2 years. I've probably read for more than 500 people.
Wow.
And for me, it's just been a joy, but also to watch other people have the same experience that I did of having a different relationship with somebody who's on the other side than what I had when they were here on this side.
Right. Well, you know, after my mom died, I saw her ghost, and at the time I didn't believe it,
mm-hmm.
but it was sort of that incident which really opened me up to start researching the paranormal. And at the time, I thought it was just a hallucination. And I'm wondering with you. I mean, do you ever doubt what you're seeing? And
no.
Is it just what you see, or do you hear stuff? And
well, my skills started out visually, and I found out when I went to the Arthur Finley College that's very common for we get impressions in the third eye. Now, men I have found actually get more vision, more clear pictures of the people versus women. I've just seen since I've started teaching people that men are really gifted in vision. They can actually see things more clearer on average than women, and I think it's great. I always giggle. I said, well, you get the magic gift. You know, you just turn on one day, and there you are. You're like a camera, and there's your picture, and have fun with it. You know, me, I'm like, I'm playing charades, you know. So I'm like, oh, here's this. So what I will say to you is that I trust my intuition so strongly that I trust what I'm given. And through the reading that I've done, the practice that I've done, and the research that I've done, I may get the interpretation off a little bit, but I always get the message right. That is usually given to me 100% of the time. Where I run into situations is when I try to make it more complicated than it is. If that makes sense. You know, if I try to figure it all out. You know, a common thing is one time I was doing a reading and I had an apple pop up in my third eye, and I went, oh. And I've got this lady here, and I'm talking to her about her mother, and she said, I said, oh. And here I am thinking, apple is education, right? I'm thinking, oh, that's a teacher, that sort of thing. I said, well, she's giving me this apple, and she must have been a good teacher. She says, no, no, no. She made me apple pie every week. And I said, oh, see, there you go. I tried to, the medium tried to figure it out, but it was more powerful for the person who was getting it. So we never know how that's going to impact someone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Very interesting. So a lot of, I mean, what does it feel like to, you're having these visions in your mind's eye? Is it, are you able to hold conversations as well?
I do. Now, as I said, my gifts really turned on visually for me. And I do, we're all sensitive. We all have extra senses in the sixth sense of clearing, of hearing, seeing, and feeling. So I always encourage people, we always have that. Today, where most of my contact from the spirit world is through my ear, and if for some reason, if that person wasn't a great big communicator, verbally a communicator, they will use whatever's in my brain to help me bring them through for that person. And I usually love to start off with what kind of person they were, how they appeared to me, what they look like. I also ask the spirit world to give me information about themselves that will separate them from other people, especially when I do group sessions. You know, we can have many people named Jim, and we can have, they all were on a farm, and yada, yada, yada. And I want them to say, hey, I was passed away 3 years ago. He's giving me some information about this side of his body, etc. Those are more specific things that I learned when I went to a college that really makes a medium practice their skills and build a rapport with the spirit world. And they have never let me down. Not once.
Wow.
Now, I personally, you know, especially starting off, I lost confidence a little bit. I would give the message and I'd go and I'd think about it, you know, oh God, what was that? And how'd I do? And da 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 da. Now, at this point, I just say, I pray before I, you know, do sessions and just ask that I be a highest channel for that person and bring those loved ones through if it's for their highest good, and then I just move on. And that's what's helped me, I think, have more confidence and faith in the spirit world. And it never fails. I get an email. This guy says one time, he said, well, I'd like to know how I know if my father's around me. So I went and asked his father, and his father said, well, you can hear bells ringing. I said, well, you may think this sounds crazy, but he's talking about bells ringing. And so he went home, and that day he apparently was taking a nap, and all of a sudden he heard the doorbell ringing like an incessant child over, over, over and again. And he got up and went to the door. No one was there, and his girlfriend was with him, and they were all both sitting up and, you know, after taking the nap, thinking, what in the world is this noise? So he just kept ringing this bell, and he said he knew at that point that it was his father. And so the woman shared with him, she went to the back door, nobody was there, nobody was at the front door, that there was an old intercom system in that house that had never been used, that had a doorbell in it, but had never been used like a doorbell, and that's the way that frequency was brought in, and he knew it was his father. So I'm never surprised. I think I'm surprised how awesome the spirit world is and how much they want us to know that they're there and that they want to support us. And for people like us, we like to see, hear, and feel things more on a physical level. It takes that sort of experience, like you with the ghost or me with the woman that, you know, I was sitting with. Not everybody's born into a sensitive home where they're taught to pay attention to what they're picking up on, they're seeing, and they're feeling, and they're hearing.
Right, right. Yeah, my family's actually pretty skeptical. is your family now pretty accepting of what you do?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. They all know what I do. My mother is quite funny. She today she came over for dinner and she took a brochure. So, you know, I think that's progress for her. And then occasionally she'll like to, you know, she'll be talking about one of her friends that have died, and I'll feel them with me, and that I won't know this woman, but my mother would know them, and I'd just give her a message and give her evidence. And, you know, my mother just said, I'm really glad that I just wanted somebody to talk to me about her today. I missed her. I said, well, I'm glad you talked to me. And that was a real opening in the relationship. I think more so my family was concerned because I left, you know, I left a real secure job. With, you know, all the great benefits that, you know, seeming things of security. I had a great career in management and was doing very well and had a lot of opportunity there, but my heart wasn't there anymore.
Right. Well, you have to follow your true path.
I did. I did all the things that people say to do. You know, I prayed about it. I wrote a letter and said, okay, this is what my life is like now. I wrote my notice and, you know, things worked out for me in such a way that I could ease into what I'm doing full time. But the real purpose is that I know that I'm really being who I'm meant to be today.
Right. Well, having, you know, talked with so many spirits and kind of really built a connection to the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
How would you describe the spirit world and how is it different from here and what is the veil between the worlds? Why can't we see them as easily as they see us?
So this is just my opinion, so for all the listeners out there, this is just from what I've experienced. First of all, as far as being open and the veil, I think the only thing that keeps us from seeing them more clearly, one is that their energy is energetic. It's not in the physical form. So we have to trust that when we're sensing things, we're feeling things, we're hearing things, that the veil is really our conception that you have to physically be holding something to experience something. Does that make
sense?
Yeah. So that's one thing. As far as how the spirit world treats me, they are awesome. They are an entity of energy, of nothing but love and support. When I've asked them to help me, when I've been very nervous in group settings and that sort of thing, they've always been able to come through in a way that made it easy for me to deal with. A lot of people in the spirit world that I've worked with, not on my as well as for my personal, but also for my clients, is a lot of them want to make things right. And I have found that a lot of people will come back and make amends and apologize and say things that they weren't able to say. I have experienced a lot of that where, in that spirit's way, they're clearing up that relationship the best they can to move on to whatever that next spiritual experience is supposed to be.
Right. Well, I guess it's important once you're in the spirit world, suddenly you realize all the things that you didn't do while you're here on Earth. And
it
holds you back?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would assume that it holds the spirit back then, once you're...
I can tell you it feels vibrationally, because for me, I feel vibrations when I work with the spirit world. And when people are, like, for example, people have committed suicide and that sort of thing, you know, it's not what people expect. I have found that some people were glad that they were able to leave this life, but they still had issues to deal with, it seemed through on the level they were on there, but in such a way apologizing or making the sitter know that it wasn't their fault for their decision. And some of them, you know, didn't plan on it. Some of them didn't mean to. There's been a lot of things that have come through that for me has really helped me understand people more as well.
Oh,
and have compassion, you know.
Wow.
So I think that was your two questions. One was about the veil, right? And
right.
The second one was about what's the spirit world like. You know, they've done nothing but support me from the very minute I said, I would like to work with the spirit world, I would like to, and they actually found me first through working with a medium, and I think that that goes through a series of me being able to follow my intuition. The first time I ever spoke to a medium, I was at home, I was working from home, and I was led to a radio station. I'd never even heard that radio station before. I just said, okay, I'll go check this out. And then something said, call this number. I was like, yeah, right. I'm not going to call this number. I mean, I don't even know what to say to this person. So apparently I call into this number because I just felt the urge to do it in such a way. It was really amazing. And then I actually got through. So it was a series of coincidences that, you know, I didn't wake up that morning and plan on, you know, I'm going to have a contact with my father today and we're going to make it all right. So.
All right. Well, do you have a specific spirit guide then, or is there a group of them?
Whenever I started to, now, for me personally, I can share it with my experiences. I became aware of different energies with me, not necessarily names. What I have developed through meditation is I read a book called Opening the Channel by, I believe you say her name is, Sanaya Roman. And it's an amazingly easy book to read to help people open up. And I practiced those meditations in there, and I became aware of energies that were with me. And then as I grew in my relationship with the spirit world, I actually felt more clearly. Now I have a couple of them that are with me all the time. Now it's not like I'm walking and I have this, you know, person beside me all the time. I become aware of them, their energies with me at different times, either through conversations with people or when I'm, you know, getting ready for work or whatever I'm doing. I'll feel their presence. I'll go, oh, there you are, you know. How nice to know you're here. And sometimes it's very comforting. I had one of my spirit guides showed up in my circles. I do circles where I demonstrate mediumship for groups of people in my home, and I get names when I do that, and I kept hearing Thomas Edison. I said, okay, let's just see if anybody here knows Thomas Edison. I was like, okay, no problem. And that happened for probably 4 or 5 groups, and I finally realized that Tom was the name of my spirit guide, you know, after they don't take it for so long, because I felt his energy right by me. And, you know, I just began to work with him a little bit, and he's what I would consider someone that's been with me for a very long time, and that he's got a real celestial feel to him, and he is a little serious at times about getting me on my path. And I've got other energies that I feel in when I'm in need of healing or emotional support. I'll feel an angel with me as well. So it really depends on where I'm at that moment, who on that side is supporting me. And sometimes I'm aware of it and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'll recognize it after working with a colleague of mine, and she'll reveal to me, hey, so-and-so's with you, and they're talking about your, you know, your neck this and your back that. And, oh, my gosh, oh, wow, that's good to know. I've sensed something. I just wasn't that aware, so.
Well, it's interesting because as you're doing your reading, you don't always understand what you're seeing, like
oh,
that example you
correct.
Had with the apple.
That's correct. It can really, I've learned the mostly, if I can keep it simple for the person I'm reading for, the better it is for me and for them. It's a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I do get skeptics, you know, who think that they can't tell me anything, and it doesn't matter if they tell me anything or not, but in a reading, it's so important because a sitter's energy is just as important as the reader. It takes 3 solid energies to have a good communication, because it's that sort of energy that pulls that spirit world closer to it, that desire, that intention.
So a skeptic is harder to read for, then, would you say?
Well, as long as I don't let that get in my mind, you know, where I'm worried about it. I've had some people try to test me, and, you know, that's okay. If I were paying for someone, I would feel like I would, you know, want to know there for sure. And I always tell people, you know, when you're looking for a psychic or a medium, one, know what you're looking for and know why you're looking for it. You know, if you're looking to get better clarity in your life, let that be the reason for your contact, you know. It's very common where I'll have people in circle that will sell, you know, I'll go to them and I'll ask them who they'd like for me to talk to for them. Just give me their name or their relation, whatever. They'll go, oh, well, just tell me who's there. And then I'll tell them who's there and yada, yada. And then at the end of the night, they're upset because somebody else didn't come through. And I said, well, you asked for this person. You asked for me to tell you who was there, and this is the person that came for the most energy. It's important for you to just say who you want to work with. And that helps in those spot situations.
Right.
Because we can get people that people don't know, you know, that they could be a second uncle, and now they got to go check back with their family members, and that's that sort of thing. So.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight we're talking with Jennifer Farmer, a psychic medium. And if you want to give her a call and ask some questions, the toll-free number is 888-228-4494. I'll say it again, 888-228-4494. Now, Jennifer, as time goes on, do you find that your abilities to read spirits is evolving, and are you able to do is it improving
as time
goes on?
Yeah, well, it's different. One, I'm more relaxed with people because I feel like that I am able to be more comfortable with people and what I'm seeing and what I'm picking up. I'm also becoming more comfortable with the spirit world because knowing how they work with me, knowing that I can talk with them and ask them for what I need has been a real help. As far as evolving, that is true. When I first started to read, now working psychically is different than working mediumistically. So psychically is where I take a look at someone's energy around them and I talk about what's in their life and I can talk about their personality, their health, and their physical life, their relationships, that sort of thing. That definitely has evolved at a much higher level. And then working with the spirit world, just knowing that I can communicate with them and practicing and going to training and practicing. So I tell people we have to practice, practice, practice. You can read all you want in a book, but until you connect in and have that plug into that frequency of energy, there's no better way to get practice than that right there. So when I first started out, I was able to pick up a lot of medical information on people. And that's not my background, and so I was always a little surprised by that. But that comes through reading people psychically. You can take a look, and if you've had any education or had any medical issues, you can pick up that because it's familiar to you. And that has evolved where I don't do that as often unless someone asks me for it. Then I also can do, from a mediumistic point, it changed from more vision to more audio. And I really was hoping that I would get more pictures because I would think it would be more clear. And what I found out for me is that my strength is in the audio and working with the spirit world. So, like I share with my students, let's focus on what you're good at, and you can develop on what you want as you go on. So occasionally I'll say, sure would like to have, I'll tell the spirit world, sure would like to have a few pictures here, you know, and they'll drop something down there, and I'll get an image or an impression, and then I'll share that with my client. But it's not, that's my audio is more the standard for me.
Right. And since would you say that everybody has the ability of mediumship and that it can be developed in anybody?
I do. I think it can. A lot of people may disagree with me, but if you're open, we're all human beings and we've all been given six senses where we can hear, see, and feel. And if you're open, then if you're open up to the spirit world, they will respond. Everybody has it anyway. They just don't recognize it. They go, well, I knew I was supposed to do that. And, you know, for example, maybe they got a feeling about going into a restaurant and said, I knew I didn't want to go in there. And then you go in there anyway because you're trying to make everybody happy. You don't want to complain about it. But then it's horrible food and horrible service. That is intuitive knowing. That is a knowing ahead of the time that it's going to be, you know, not a very good experience. And I share with people to honor that and listen to that.
Right.
So we all have that. Or maybe we are in a relationship with someone and we really are getting a lot of red signals. Maybe they're not in line with our values. But for many other reasons, we stay and we've had an intuitive knowing that you aren't supposed to be long-term with that person, but you force yourself to do it anyway. You know, those are intuitive messages that are here to love and support us. So I encourage people to honor that. As far as working with the spirit world, when we put our intention out there and we get a feeling and sometimes it's just about education. You know, when you're thinking about someone and they call you, that's not a coincidence. When you are thinking about memories of your family member that has already crossed over, that's them trying to connect with you.
Right.
And, you know, this is at post-grieving experiences. Now, I know people in grieving experiences can obviously have visits and dreams and that sort of thing. And that's another way the spirit world communicates with us.
Through dreams, yeah, I was going to ask
you
that.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited the first time. My father doesn't come to see me very often. And there are times when I'm all ready for him to come, you know, like on Father's Day. I'll say, okay, Dad, it's your day. I'm lighting the candle up. And are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The phone did something really strange. And so the really interesting thing is I set on Father's Day out this year. I put a candle out and said, Dad, I really want to honor you. I'd like you to come and visit me. I'm waiting. And so I waited and waited and went to sleep that night. My father did not come. I did not sense him. I did not feel him. And I went, well, okay then. It didn't happen. I guess it's not the right time. And then 3 days later, I was in California doing work out there and I was having a tough time, and my father showed up. I just felt his presence in the bathroom, and I said, well, there you are. I said, well, thanks for coming. I'm sure glad you're here. I missed you on Father's Day, but I'm glad you're here now to help me. And he came through at a time that I was needing to feel his presence there, and it was a real beautiful experience. So I always share with people, we can't force them to come on our terms. It's not like I have this click on button that says, take a number, I'm ready for you. It's more like put your intention out there and be open for how the spirit world will work back with you.
Right. Well, that makes sense. It's just like that here on Earth. I mean, you can't just barge into people's homes.
And that's the way the spirit world is in many senses, especially when I find people and how they are in the spirit world. Some of them will come through, I mean, they come through in a way that's recognizable for the sitter, but there are also some of them that maybe weren't at peace then, but they are now. And for many, sometimes it's physical ailments that they'll come through, and they'll say, I'm so glad my feet don't bother me anymore, and the sitter will go, oh, thank God her feet hurt every day of her life. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Right.
Where they don't have that physical limitation.
Well, it must be thrilling for you when you get that kind of validation as well. I mean,
I get it all the time. I get it, and you know what? I expect it, because if you're going to commit to the spirit world and do this work, it's we expect to be supported, and I've never been let down. And I always share with people, we talk to them like they're on the other side of the room. They're right here with us. We should build that rapport just like we would a person sitting right here next to us. And that's taken me practice. I've learned that through going back to school. I've been to London twice now. I'll go back again this year to have that experience of just putting myself in a training situation with new people. And I usually get to unlearn everything I know when I go, practice it the way they like me to practice it, and then put it all back together, plus more when I come back.
Right. Wow. Oh, interesting. Well, do you find that the spirits generally are, I mean, what do they do as activities? How are they spending their time up there on the other side?
You know, every one of them that have come through, some of them will be in different places. It's like a couple of them I know. I remember one of them came through and he said, "What are you doing?" And you know, the mother asked, you know, "What is he doing?" And he was in children's wards with cancer patients. And he just was there to help people during those times, to comfort people, to comfort the children in children's wards. And the fact is, he loved children. I think they can do whatever they want in the spirit world. I think it's unlimited on what they can do and how they spend their time. You know, I don't always know what my father's doing. Sometimes I wonder if he's, you know, reincarnated, and then he comes, you know, he's able to sense and feel me on this level. And there's a lot that I don't understand, you know. I'll just be honest with you. So I'm learning, too, as I go about all of that.
Right. Well, it's a thrilling thing, I think, to be able to contact your deceased loved ones. And
when
you watch the Lisa Williams show, it seems like her clients always break up into tears. Is that something that commonly happens with you?
Yeah. Oh, you know what I was just going to say, I heard, as you asked me that question? It says, we're not human beings. They said, we're not doing anything. We're just being the way you humans are supposed to be. not humans doing, but humans being. They said, we're just being. We're just being, and they're okay with just being. That's what they're doing in the spirit world. That's funny they said that. That's what I just heard as you were talking to me about that.
Right.
I do have many people that have a lot of grief and that will burst out into tears. One, it's because you know you figured you lost someone, you buried someone, and you're never going to see them again. You're never going to hear their voice again. You're never going to know they're there. And then all of a sudden you start talking to a medium, and you feel, for God's sake, like that loved one is sitting right there with you. And it's a very beautiful experience.
Right. Well, and they are sitting right next to you. I mean, I believe it.
So. Yeah. It is. And even with me, like if someone brings, because when I go to study, we practice on each other. I still cry whenever certain family members come through. Like my aunt passed away, and she passed away, and then 3 months later I was in school. Well, that was her first contact. I was crying hysterically because I couldn't believe she was there, and she came through so clear. It just sent me over the edge. I just missed her, and I loved her, and I even, you know, she came to tell me she'd passed whenever I knew about it and what she was doing, you know, when my mother was ready to hear it. But, you know, it was a very beautiful experience for me, and it was a healing experience for me.
Right. Now, it's interesting. I've done a lot of reading on this kind of stuff and reading about enlightened masters and that sort of thing, and religions, and it seems like the one commonality in a lot of this is meditation. And if for someone who wanted to learn this ability, you know, like your students, I mean, what would you give advice to how to do this and what to look for?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I share with people is always have a good attitude. You know, have an attitude of being open to learning. That's really the first thing. Two is to spend time with spirit every day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's what we call building the power, building that link in. And we don't sit there and our mind shuts off and we get this automatic handshake. It's not like that. It's more like, how do we sit still and watch our breath and become aware of the energies that are around us? Are we even aware of our own energies? So that's part of it. The third part is to practice and develop with people that are experienced in it that can help guide you along the way. It's very important to have people to help. Now, I sought out tutors when I knew that I was going to do this, people that could help me validate what was going on with me. And that's what I did. I mean, I did a lot of book, I did a lot of studying, I did a lot of meditation. And then when I was ready, I said, now I need some physical validation. I called, and I looked for people that I felt were reputable. I followed my intuition. I worked with those people for the time, and then I, you know, then I pursued other careers and training. What I share with people is go with what your intuition leads you to be. Maybe you don't want to be a medium, but maybe you want to be a Reiki master and you want to learn more about energy. Well, then take a course. Start researching it. Take some action and put yourself out there. You can think about it all day long, but you've got to be willing to take some action to do it.
Right. Well, it's interesting, that first step, being open to learning.
Yes.
That, I think that is really important, because it seems to me people's biggest stumbling block to achieving spiritual enlightenment is skepticism. They just don't believe that they can have out-of-body experiences or dreams that come true or,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a vision of a ghost. So, why are people so skeptical?
Well, I personally think that it's part of our programming in the culture that we live in. We are not in a society right now that encourages people to pay attention to the human side. Even through formal education, you don't have any courses on mind, body, and spirit health. You know, you usually have to be an adult or have a psychic as a mother or a father for you to become aware of what those nudges are. Some people call it your conscience. It is a conscience. It is a higher conscience. I think people want quick fixes. I think they want to, and I've been guilty of all of these things. You know, for me, it's been by, you know, circumstance that I've developed. I mean, I've been in a lot of emotional pain in my life, and I've had to find things inside of me to bring healing to me. And this was just what I would call part of it, part of the process for me. I didn't plan to, you know, wake up and see dead people and talk to dead people and be turned on in a way where my brain works in a different way than I thought was possible. And quite frankly, some of my friends don't call me anymore, but it's not for me to worry about, you know. So resistance, people are afraid. I think there's a lot of misconceptions out on the web and out on the churches and out in the TV that has this idea of this crystal ball that things are evil. And I'm going to say, you know, I believe that everything is vibration. Some has higher vibration and some has lower vibration. And I can assure you, I don't want to be with people that are angry and hatred and are closed off and are judgmental all the time. That's not where I want to spend my time. But there are people in that place. I'm convinced that if people are open, you can move from any place that you are as a person to higher ground. And
right.
if you're willing to let go of your beliefs and have some new ones.
Well, it's interesting because I think people, you know, formal religion seems to
mm-hmm.
restrict a lot of people's beliefs, and some religious people call this stuff evil, which I think is ironic because if you, like, read Butler's Lives of the Saints, you'll find that all the people who've been canonized as saints have these abilities.
Yeah.
And were very, very popular as, you know, counselors,
yeah.
I think, because
of it. We were
meant
to be. Mm-hmm. We were meant to be. I mean, I'm in a community where Christianity is very strong, and I've been supported a lot by the community here, but I've had some people that were concerned that I was doing, you know, some sort of black magic and this and that and the other. And, you know, I encourage people to, I'm not real doctorate educated, but my sister is, and I know she helps me with people that have problems with this. The spiritualist, which is where I've been trained, most of my formal training has been, have a doctrine in the Bible that actually points out where gifts of the Spirit and discernment are just a part of the experience. It's not something it looks to me like it's pretty supposed to be normal, you know, and not the abnormal.
Right. Well, now, when you build a bridge to the spirit world and you meditate, I mean, What is meditation? How can someone...
So, what I did for a long time, I used guided meditations where I would follow specific guided meditations and directions in a book, in some books that I read. And I think I mentioned Sanaya. she's got a great book called Opening the Channel, which she talks a lot about how to prepare to open up, how to get quiet, how to still your body. Then I moved on to, or what you can do is look for guided meditations in the area that you want. There's tons of them now, you know, how to talk to the angels, how to work with your spirit guide. There's a lot of guided meditations that has that purpose, and I just share with people, just do it and have a good attitude about doing it. Be open to learning something new and have a good attitude, and then do it. And if you didn't feel it in that one, then go get another one. Tell them, you know, because not every meditation I've done has been for me. But for what I understand, meditation raises my consciousness, my awareness to that energy inside of me and above me in a higher state where I am, I would say, in a much more relaxed state, in a flowing state of mind that allows me to channel in information that I need to know.
Right. Well, and being in that kind
spirit.
Of being, yeah, in that kind of a state protects you from any sort of psychic attacks, I guess, from low-level spirits.
Yeah, I don't really. I haven't had a lot of experience with that, and I think it's probably because I just expect to be supported by the highest level of spirits. I've only had a couple of visits with people that were uncomfortable, and I just tell them to leave, and that's what I've been told to do, and they don't hang out. And because what happens is people start to let their fear and all those things that the TV and the movies and all of that stuff says and about, you know, evil and all that business, you know, I just told them, I don't know what you're doing here, but, you know, just get away from me. And I've only had it happen twice. And my experience is anything that tries to scare me from the spirit world isn't meant for me, because the spirit world has done nothing but support me. So I don't invite that in my life, and nor do I want it in my life.
So your connection, I mean, when you're, are there spirits constantly knocking on your door saying, you know, I want, you know, or do you turn this ability off, or do you have the ability to just block it out?
I've had to learn to turn it off. Because when I first opened up, I was so afraid that I was going to lose it. I just was turned on all the time, and I would read for people all the time, and I would be in line waiting in the hotel, and I would hear, you know, and I would be talking to people about what I was picking up and this and that and the other, and, you know, I just got exhausted. And I have had to do this thing in little bitty pieces and increments at a time. And I do. You know, there are times when I visit with friends, I'll go, oh, no, the psychic's off. I'm sorry, you know. And then there'll be times where spirit will come in and I'll just say, well, we're right in the middle of this, but I want to let you know your mom's here. She's talking about the time that you lost your shoe. She knows you didn't mean it, you know, whatever that is. But that's, I've had to use my best judgment whenever things come on. But I do definitely... I put my mind in a place to be ready for the spirit world every time I work, every time I do communication.
Well, do you find that when you're talking with the spirit and they're talking about how they died, that you feel what they felt?
Sometimes they will tell me, and sometimes they will show me in my body. So that's gone both places. They'll bring me. They will, sometimes they'll show me an EKG for a heart, you know. Sometimes they will give me the vision of someone throwing up for someone who aspirated, you know. Sometimes I'll feel like I can't breathe. And so it varies just depending on the sitter. It's not always the same.
Well, Jennifer, I don't want to put you on the spot, but... Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could possibly contact my own mother.
Okay. You know, and would she have a C in her name, like a Clara? Or, because I felt her with us as we started, and I just was going to hope that when we started that we would, that if you were going to talk to me about her, because I felt her presence with me. And I heard the name Clara. Would that mean anything to you?
No. I don't
what's her
know.
First, and what's her first name?
Her first name is Nancy. It does have a C in it.
Uh-huh. And her last name?
Her last name is Dennett.
Okay. Give me just a moment.
Sure.
All right. So as I link in with your mother, the first thing I would like to say about her is that she comes through very poised in the way she presents herself to me. She's someone that would stand up straight. She would correct me, make sure that my shoulders were back and I was proper. Would you understand this?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. She's also making me aware that everything that she would have to be perfect, and she had that sense about her that her outside appearance, how she held her hair, what she did in her life, and she says her outlook on life was to always look and be your best.
Wow, that's
does
right
that make
on.
Sense
that's,
to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
She had the most amazing posture.
Yeah, she's making me aware too that part of her posture, part of her just her stature. She said some people would find her a little uppity, but she wasn't. But because she put herself out that way, sometimes she didn't have the greatest way to communicate to people. It would sort of turn people like she wasn't approachable. Does that make sense?
Well, it might. I don't know.
Okay, so let's look at what we can take. If it doesn't fit, you just need to let me know. I'll go back and ask what she meant by that. Because she's given me the impression that she could be a little uppity sometimes. And I don't mean that to be rude, but she says in her character she was a little uppity. Would that be more uppity in her personality or just uppity? Because she's very upbeat when I'm talking to her. Like she
right.
can chatter my ear off. But there was a part of her that she's talking about sometimes was not approachable.
Well,
if you can't place that, don't worry that, because I can go back and ask her about it.
Right, I don't right? quite understand that, because she
all
was,
right, so let
know.
Me look at this. She's counting 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Give me just a moment. Let me just go and ask her about this. She's telling me that April is an important time frame for you and for her. Is that correct? She's bringing me to the month of April, around April 2nd. April with a 2 on it. Can you
no,
place that?
Not really.
She's making me aware that there's a birthday around April, the 1st of April. And was she also one of 3, please? Three children.
No, she was not.
Okay. Well, are you one of 3?
No.
Okay. Let me just work with her for just a moment, okay? Because she kept giving me the number 3. The 3, like 3 children. Give me just a moment. All right. Well, she thinks you're a treasure because she's given me a treasure box, okay? She's given me a gold treasure box here in front of me. And as I just link in with her, she's talking about before she passed, she had to spend time on her own. Would that make sense to you?
Yes, that actually did happen.
Yeah, she said she's making, because I'm going to go back to her since we hadn't got a couple of those. I want to go back to the things that fit, and then we'll go back and sort out the stuff that we don't have. But she's making me aware that she lived by the water as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. She's talking about living by the water. She's talking about the times that she would look out of her window, and she's talking about not being able to get out of her bed very well because she shows me the image of her looking out the window but not being able to get up and move the way she would like to move. Has it been 3 years since her passing, please?
No, it's been...
She's giving me something with her passing around 3 years. Give me just a moment. And do you remember what year she passed?
This was 1984.
Okay, give me just a moment then. Because I was going to say 83, because whenever I get those dates in there, and it wasn't any, was it close to April at all?
No.
Okay, I'm going to let that date sit for just a moment, okay? Let me just kind of go here. And who's, did she call someone Benny? Benny, would you know that name? Benny?
No, I can't.
Okay. Because she's making me aware of her brother's also in spirit. That would be your uncle.
Her sister. She had a sister.
And was her name like, she said like a brother. She made me feel like it was a brother. Give me just a moment. How would she say that? Is there a Karen linked into your sister? I mean, to your mother? A Karen? Or to you? She's just given me that name.
I do know a Karen.
Okay. She just lets me know she's in your field. And she, and your mother is talking to me about that you work with Karen. Is that right?
I did in the past.
Okay, because she said you work with this Karen. That doesn't mean that she's here, like she's over on the other side, but it just lets your mother know she's paying attention to your life. She
right.
says she also kept, she's making me aware that she's giving me thumbtacks. She keeps her thumb on you, you know. She makes me aware that she would sometimes keep her thumb on you, you know. Keep a good eye on you is what she says. Keep you out of trouble, she says. She's making me aware, too, that with her passing, she had a lot of coughing. And she makes me aware that there was some coughing with her passing. She brings me to her chest area. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
All right, good. She's also making me aware that something with her feet would also go numb as well. Numb. She's making me aware of that. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't, but, you know, she might have hid that.
Okay. Well, she's making me aware that her feet were cold and feet were numb. She makes me aware of that, too. Now, she is the one with blue eyes, please?
Greenish blue.
Because I feel, because when she shows me, like, the blue eyes, and I wasn't sure if it was with her or with you. All right, so let me just link in with her for just a moment. Well, just because we're on the radio, I'm just going to keep this really general with her. As I link in with her, she's talking to me, September is also an important time frame for you and for her, and you can understand this, please? September?
Not really, no.
Okay, she's making me aware of that. Give me just a moment. Now, your father is still here on this side, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Do you know if they were married in September?
No, they weren't.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They were not.
She's talking about your father being linked into that September time frame.
Well, you know, I'd have to think about it.
Okay,
I can't
don't worry about it. Well, you got this recorded, so you'll get it later. She's making me aware that she is, she's talking to me about money, okay? She keeps giving me a checkbook here for you and talking to me about money. She lets me know that this is something that's been on your mind. She says that you've always had a good head on your shoulders, Preston. She says, so this is no different for you. She says you've always come out on top. She's making me aware with this. She says it's also important to be careful of how you say things, she said, because... give me just a moment. Let me see how she's making this come alive here. She said sometimes you can be a little short on how you say things, and I feel like this is in a professional way, not in a personal way. That makes any sense to you?
Right, yeah.
Okay. And to explain a little bit more about what you want to do with your money, and I feel like this has to do in the professional arena. Would that make sense to you right now?
Yes, it would.
All right, she's talking to me about you wanting to go travel to another city. And I just got to say, is there a link into Italy to her, please? To your mother? Or to you?
Not that I can think of offhand.
She's talking to me about going to Little Italy. Little Italy. All right, so let me just look at this for a moment. Okay, because as I work in with her, she just talks to me about your dreams about going abroad. She's giving me a passport. Do you have a passport?
No, I don't.
All right, so you may want to get one because she's talking to me about you getting a passport and going abroad, all right? Because she wants you to see more of the world. You know,
yes,
your mother...
I've been wanting to do that.
Huh? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I've been wanting to do that,
because
actually.
She's talking to me about this has been on your mind. And I've got to say that there's something really glamorous about your mother because she's showing me Glamour magazine. Okay? She's just,
right.
You know those beautiful French and Paris women and the pictures, like going abroad? She keeps showing me, like, Harper's Bazaar is what she's talking to me about.
Right.
Okay?
Well, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because that's what she's given me, too, is evidence with you. She said she didn't want to tell anyone she was sick. And you can understand this, correct?
Yes.
She said that she wanted to keep it, and there was something with her throat, because she links into her throat, and she makes me aware that she couldn't speak because of the illness as well. There's something with that, and can you place that at all?
No, it wasn't so much an illness, really. It was a heart attack.
It was? Well, she's making me aware of not being able to talk to you. Was that before her passing, then? So you guys didn't get to speak before she passed?
Well, she passed when I was young, so we didn't get to,
Okay. All right. So let's just kind of link in with this in here, because she's saying you're not getting able to pass, and you can't place the April time frame at all. Because she, do you know a person named April? By any chance?
No.
All right. She's given me that date again, and I'm around April 11th. Okay. I'm not sure where that's going to place in, but she is persistent about that. Okay. And as I just link in with her, she's just telling me she loves you. Now, do you have a younger brother, please?
No.
She's talking to me about that brother again, and she's talking to me about that for a reason. She said it twice now. Is it true you've always wanted to have a little brother?
Well, no, I can't say that I've actually thought much about that.
Okay. Well, there's something with a younger brother here. Give me just a moment. Do you know if your father had any other children? That you may have had a younger brother?
I don't know. He has not had any other children.
Okay.
That I'm aware of. I am the youngest brother, though. So
you are the youngest brother. Well, thank God. Okay, we got that behind us then. So you're the youngest brother. Because she kept saying, youngest brother, youngest brother. I was like, okay, let me go get it. And she's talking to me about someone being afraid of snakes. Being afraid of snakes. Anyone near Louisiana that you can place the link in, please, to Louisiana?
No, not really, though. I did talk to someone in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's just me. It's just her letting you know that she's with you.
Okay.
Just in the right now. Does that make sense? There's no way I could have known that, but she's talking to me about Louisiana. And she's funny how she did that. She gave me a snake, like a Louisiana snake. Okay.
Okay.
All right?
So, yeah.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm seeing how it works. It's interesting. Yeah, I did just speak with someone in Louisiana.
Yeah, and she's just giving me that as an indication that she's here. She loves your new hair. Did you just get a new haircut? She keeps talking about your hair.
No, I need to get a haircut.
Okay, because she's talking about your hair over and over again here now with this. And she's saying you still have her ring, please?
I don't, but
because
my sister does.
And I have to say that it's got a blue stone on it. It's got a blue stone on it. You can understand her wearing costume jewelry, right? Or jewelry that had stones in it, like rhinestones. Because this is actually this is the December stone. It's the blue stone, like the aquamarine. I think that's the stone for December. It's blue. Can you, in her birthday, please?
It's possible. Her birthday?
Okay. Yeah.
It was like March 24th, I think, 26th.
Okay. All right. So I was just going to see what that blue stone is, because she keeps giving me that ring with the blue stone. It's beautiful. But she said you still have that ring, but someone in your family does have it, correct?
Right. That's correct.
Yeah, she's talking about the picture you have of her where she's standing by herself.
Yes.
And she's making me aware. Now, it's on a table with dark wood. Would you understand which one I'm talking about? It looks like it's on a dark-colored wood on a formal table. It's got a gloss finish on it, but you would understand the picture of her by herself. And I kind of say it looks like she's sort of wondering what she's doing with her life in this picture, if that makes any sense to you.
I'll have to check it.
Yeah, but she says you still have it, and you have it up as well.
Yeah.
And she says there's also a photo with the three. Let's see. She shows me that three again. Three children again. Because she's given me her and two brothers. Now, it's you, and you have, and you're the younger brother, though, correct?
I'm the youngest. I have actually three older brothers.
Okay. So there's four brothers in all?
Yes.
All right. Give me just a moment here. Well, she loves all of you. And so I will say that, is there one that's named Chris or Craig? That you, one of your brothers? Chris?
No.
Like a Christopher?
No, but that was actually, I think they were thinking of naming me that.
Okay, because she kept saying, tell him about Christopher. So that's good. I'm glad you know that. That would be evidence that she would be with me. Anyway, she's giving me one last thing. She's just talking to me about the letter that you wrote to her. There's a letter that you wrote to her. She's giving me a letter that you wrote. Can you place this? This is after her passing. You wrote her a letter?
Oh. Yes. Oh, after her passing, that's possible, yeah.
Yeah, she's just talking about, she got the letter.
Oh, okay.
And she loves you. And she says, don't worry about anything you did wrong between us. She says, everything is just fine between you and I.
Oh, good.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
Don't worry about anything between us. It's all perfect between us. Is what she said. She
okay.
said the bridge is already here.
Well, Jennifer, I have to say you're amazing, and you've got a lot of that stuff.
All right, so there's a couple things we couldn't place, and so I'm just going to say thank you for letting me work with you and have your mom in. I'm just going to say if you can ever write that April date down, like April, and I believe the first time she came through was an April 2, well, when she showed me the 11, and that is two ones, which would equal a 2, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes I get that a little off sometimes, but she was very clear about it. There was an important date for you, and it may be for you in April, all right? So be aware of that. Also, with September linked into your father, there's a link in with your father in September, okay?
Okay.
Because she put him, you know, she linked him into that date in September, and he would know about that.
Wow.
All right, so I don't even know. Are we still good on time, or did you have any more questions?
No, we actually pretty much do have to wrap it up now.
All right.
But Jennifer?
Well, she's awesome. Thank you so much for letting me in. Who's Pearl, please?
Excuse me?
Do you know a Pearly or a Pearl?
I do.
New
baby just arrived in the family.
Huh? Yeah, she says, say hello to Pearly, Pearl, okay? She's saying hello.
Oh, that's the new baby in the family.
Because she's saying hello to that baby, Pearl. Is it Pearly or Pearl?
Pearl, but, you know, they may call her Pearly.
All right, because she's saying hello to the baby. Okay? All right?
Very nice.
Well, you have a great day. If there's anything else I can do for you or your listeners, you let me know.
All right. Well, thanks, Jennifer. Thank you for
You're
coming
very
on
welcome.
The show.
Thank you so much.
Well, everyone, that's our show tonight. You've been listening
yeah.
to UFOs.
Hello, we just had a reading.
UFOs and the paranormal over our heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest has been Jennifer Farmer. And if you want to reach her, you can reach her at her website, which is www.butterflyspiritconnections.com. That's one word, butterflyspiritconnections.com. Well, thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join me next week when I bring on another exciting guest. Until then, have a great evening.